Good afternoon and welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Along with Matt Tritt and I'm John Coffey, as we'll talk Bearcat athletics for the next hour here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, again broadcasting live from the Palms. And Matt Tritt, we're just kind of like the U.S. Postal Service. We keep on rolling regardless of what the weather's like here.
That's exactly right. A little bit snowy, a little bit blustery out there today. No school. Northwest Missouri State University closed here in Maryville, but we are still out there raring to go because obviously coming off a great weekend for Northwest Missouri State men's and women's basketball and heading into a big one, too. A bit of a week off here with no games during the weekdays, but heading down to St. Joseph, which probably battling some weather again as the week goes on before that one, but that should set up for a pretty fun doubleheader coming up this weekend. So you're exactly right, John Coffey. We are here and ready to go, and I'm just happy to see you out here in the snowstorm.
Well, nothing I enjoy more than a good snowstorm, right?
I thought you were going to say than to see me and to be on the air with me, but I understand that.
Well, that too. Well, that was a given, I think.
Right, so. Of course. Folks can kind of tell.
Well, I tell you what, the basketball team's coming off a good road trip down to Oklahoma. It's a three-game road swing with the third that game coming up, as you mentioned, down in St. Joseph. So kind of a home away from home for the Bearcats on Saturday. But a trip down to Oklahoma against a couple teams that on paper they should be favorites going in, and they came out of it favorites with a couple good wins. No matter where you go on the road, though, you have to play your best, and I think both teams really put together a couple pretty good games down there.
Yeah, they did, and you look at that opener on Thursday, and it's Northeastern State, who's still winless in league play, but you're playing on the road in their building. They came out and knocked down some shots and did their best to hang around in that game, but Northwest kept the Riverhawks at arm's length there on the men's side throughout that basketball game, kind of keeping that around 8 to 12 points that entire second half, and really never allowed Northeastern to climb back into it. And then against Roger State two nights later, boy, that was one that Northwest Missouri State kind of put the foot on the throat of the Hillcats and just never let up on that one. Knocked down some big shots, played some great defense. And I mean, it was shooting lights out from wire to wire in that basketball game.
Yeah, the first half, 76% from the field shooting total. Again, they cooled off a little bit in the second half, but really, if you look at the numbers in the second half, still very, very respective and really impressive. But when you shoot 76% from the field and a half, you know some things are going well.
Oh, a big time. You know, ball movement, you're finding open players, you're getting after it defensively to close out possessions and getting back, trying to give yourself easy looks on the other end too, and just building up confidence as you go along throughout that half, to where no matter who's touching the basketball, you're going to get a good look, a good chance that's going down. And so you talk about 76% through 20 minutes of basketball. There are a lot of teams that would love to be 76% and a half at the free throw line. Northwest is doing it all over the floor, so high percentage looks. And you know, that was one of those things that we've kind of saw this team some slow starts at times this year, but that was not the case down in Claremore, Oklahoma. And it does kind of feel like this is a Bearcat team that's really starting to kind of put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah, they certainly are. And one player in particular that's coming back after Christmas, Wes Dreamer, he's been playing just lights out. Had that 30-point performance in one half against Clark University to come back in that non-conference game. And, of course, Clark, a team you're expected to really pretty much blow out going into that, and they were able to do that. And then they got Wes on the bench that second half against Clark. But he really has not looked back when getting back into the conference season after that.
No, he hasn't. You feel like Wes kind of came into this year with a ton of expectations. And at times, too, it's one of those things, I think, that you kind of feel that and you try to put too much pressure on yourself to deliver, to maybe try to be something you're not at times. Well, he is one heck of a player, and he's an all-MIAA performer year in and year out. We're going to see that once again this season. But I don't know if there's something that's kind of helped him to decompress a little bit, but you think about what he's done since we've got going through this second half of the season, or since Christmas break. But here he is for the season, shooting 19 out. Putting up 19 points per game, shooting over 50% from the field and 40% from three-point range, and just doing so many things right and being a leader out there on the floor for this team. So I won't say it's as Wes goes, the team goes, because there's so many guys that can step up. We're seeing tremendous years from Byron Alexander and a Mitch Mascari and a Bennett Sturts, but you just know that he is a motor, that once he gets rolling, the rest of the team is going to feed off of him.
You know, part of that, too, I think you have to credit Isaiah Jackson and Bennett Sturts and some other guys for getting the ball to him in position to come up with some good scoring opportunities as well. They've done an excellent job just distributing the ball around to the rest of their teammates.
Yeah, they really have. I mean, the court vision has been tremendous. We're coming off a game a couple games ago where Isaiah had a career-high 9 assists in a basketball game. And, you know, he's doing it coming off the bench, putting up 25 minutes per game and just finding ways to impact his team any way that he can. Bennett's kind of having what feels like is a kind of a quiet sophomore season, but he's still out here averaging 15 points per game for Northwest Missouri State and just kind of filling that role. And so this is not a team full of egos. You know, sometimes we do see some teams in college basketball and even around the MIAA that sit near the top of the MIAA, but you're kind of like, man, we got a lot of mouths to feed. We better make sure that we distribute the basketball well. That's not the case. I think these guys are pretty confident of saying, if it's not my night to shoot, that's fine. I'll pass it off and allow someone else to carry the torch, because you're just seeing a really good team effort across the board and a lot more guys having that opportunity to step up off the bench.
Yeah, that's true. And you look at the rotation right now, for the most part, it's about a 6-7 player rotation. But there you're seeing some other guys deep on the bench coming in, giving them a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there. And one of those that we'll be talking with a little bit later is Trey Moala, who is really contributing in the moments he gets out onto the floor. And a lot of guys like that, while their total minutes on the floor aren't a lot, but when they're out there, they're contributing and really helping the Bearcat cause.
Yeah, you know, whenever you look over that bench, you see Isaiah Jackson, you say, if he's not the starting lineup, boom, he is the first player off the bench that's into the basketball game. But over the throughout the season, Spencer Shomers has stepped up and knocked down some big shots and had some big plays defensively for Northwest Missouri State. We've seen Blake Danishek step in and get some big minutes. Early on, Jack Radigan played some big minutes for Northwest Missouri State, too. And as you mentioned, Trey Moala really started to come on and do some good things for Northwest. So it does feel like this is a group that, as much as Coach would love to whittle this down, probably just a certain group and say, these are my guys, he's getting contributions, and it kind of does allow him the opportunity to say, all right, if it's not your night, we're going to step up and have someone else come in and fill that role.
Now, for the Northwest women, I think there's a stat that you brought out late in the ball game against Rogers State with that win for Northwest, their 12th of the season. They got their 12th win a year ago against that same Rogers State team on the same floor, but came at a little bit different time during the season than what it did this past Saturday.
Yeah, Bearcat women, February 9th last year was win number 12 in Claremore. It's kind of crazy, the parallels that were Claremore both years, but this time around it was win number 12 coming in game number 14 on January 6th. So Northwest sitting at 12-2 now on the season, 6-2 in MIAA play. It's the first time we've seen Northwest women's basketball 10 games over 500 since that 2010-2011 season when Northwest made it to the Elite Eight. So not that we're kind of putting a pressure on saying, hey, boom, Elite Eight, book it, but it's a team that is doing a lot of good things for the first time since a team that won 29 games, you know, over a decade ago. So seeing a lot of good things right now out of Northwest Missouri State. It does feel like maybe they're kind of finding their groove, even though not every game's coming easy. They're finding different ways to get it done. A two-point win on Thursday over Northeastern State, and then just putting the screws to Rogers State and running the ball up and down on Saturday.
And one of the things, too, you look at Austin Meyer in his career as head coach of the Northwest women's team, he seems to enjoy Oklahoma pretty well. Pretty good win-loss percentage in Oklahoma, and that includes going up against Central Oklahoma teams through the years that have been pretty salty.
Well, 10-1 now in the state of Oklahoma, so Coach Meyer not doing too bad as he heads south. But you know, you think about that, some of those teams are at Northwest, as they're trying to build to the point they're at, they did go against some really good Central Oklahoma teams. You think of Kelsey Johnson, was one of the most dominant post players in the MIAA for quite a few years. Bearcats went down to Edmond and knocked off her squads a few times, but also feeding on Northeastern State, feeding on a Rogers State that's trying to find their way, climbing up the MIAA ranks, and just a lot of good things right now for Northwest Missouri State and Coach Meyer. So, you know, you think about that, too. Things didn't necessarily look right the whole game on Thursday either, getting down by 9 points in the second half, and at times, boy, one or two things break the wrong way. All of a sudden, that nine turns into a 15-point deficit. Well, the Bearcats didn't allow that ball to bounce the wrong way. They've battled their way back, got back into it, and made a push to jump back in front and win that one by two with a late bucket, a nice find. Molly Harton inside to Jana Green of kind of picking up the pace, not allowing that clock to run down in that final minute, and just saying, hey, we're going to go and we're going to control the pace and the tempo of this game and not allow you to dictate how this one goes. So found a way to pull that one out. And then you kind of think about the Rogers State game too. Clearly better, but Northwest Missouri State, the better team, hands down, going into that one. You could see it on paper. Didn't play down to the level of a competition. Just came out, knocked down shots, forced a ton of turnovers, stuck to the scouting report, and things fell the way they should. Northwest a 63-42 victory. So that's four straight now for Northwest women, and looking pretty good as they are in, I think it's a three- or four-way tie atop the MIAA.
You know, and the fun thing about watching this team is it's not been the same player every game that they have to rely on to make that play to pick up a win. It seems like it's been somebody different every game that stepped up, where you don't have to rely on that one person to have a good game, game after game.
No, you're right. Early on, we saw Lindsay Kelderman lighting it up from three a ton, and she is still shooting at a high clip, 47% from three-point range. She carried a couple games. Then we also saw Molly Hartnett's had some big games. We saw Janie Green come out with a season-high 17 points. First time scoring in double digits all season. Dozen a two-point win over Northeastern State Thursday. On Saturday, it was Kaylee Keston kind of leading the charge. She had 14 points. Matched a career high with seven rebounds. And a lot of players up and down getting it done and finding different ways. And, you know, we've talked about it night in and night out, too. Not to beat a dead horse. But it's not necessarily we got to have these two players score 20. We're not going to win. There are quite a few nights to where you've got about eight players, and they're scoring anywhere from 6 to 12 points and just kind of scattered in between. It is just an effort of, well, if we shut this player down, they're going to drive. But if we try to take this away, then they're going to find the post player inside. But if we go double down on them, that's going to leave a shooter open. And so it is just a lot of different levels to this Northwest team right now that are finding ways to get some wins. And so that brings up a very interesting matchup as we head into this weekend.
Yeah, it does. Missouri Western right around the corner for both the men and women. And let's just kind of talk about that matchup on the women's side. And, again, that's going to be one of those tests, I think, that we'll see. Kind of you can gauge where Northwest is right now this particular season, I think, when they go down to St. Joe.
You can, you can't. And I agree with you. But then part of me, too, is like, I don't know, because it's a Missouri Western team that's all over the place. And so it's hard to gauge it based off of just one game the way the MIAA is playing right now, because it is so stacked and so top-heavy right now that regardless of the outcome on Saturday, there's still so much to play for as we go down the line, win or lose. It's if you focus too much on Western, that could be detrimental in the long run. But you think about the Griffins. They beat Roger State in Claremore by 40 points on Thursday, and they turned around and lost to Northeastern 74-58 two nights later and just looked like a completely different basketball team. So it has been an interesting Western squad that has really had to ride the wave. We talked about Northwest not playing down to the competition level in Claremore and coming out with a strong 63-42 win on Saturday. Same thing. You don't know if Western's going to come out and look like a team that can make a run to the Elite Eight or if they're going to come out and look awfully bad and struggle and have their own adversity that I think at times they put on themselves. I think it's one of those of we're Northwest, worry about ourselves. We need to try to dictate the way this one goes down because, yeah, it's not going to be easy to play in St. Joe. That is a very, very talented squad that Missouri Western has and a couple players that were on that Elite Eight team just a couple seasons ago there for Candy Whitaker in St. Joe. So the Bearcats have to go in the right mindset and gear up and go. But that would be a pretty big one. Western's already at 5-3 in conference play. You can get a little more self between yourself and the Griffins and the MIAA standings with, again, a lot of games left to go. But every game right now I feel like pretty crucial in the MIAA.
Yeah, and I guess if you can compare the two teams, the one thing the Northwest has going for them, they've been much more consistent game in, game out with the way they play each matchup.
A 40-point win over Roger State for Western. They beat Kansas Christian, who is, you know, an NCCAA school that didn't really belong in the same gymnasium, and they've had some difficult games. They beat them 147-16. But then you also saw them go on the road to Nebraska Kearney and get beat 76-54. We saw them beat Missouri Southern by 18 points early in the season. They lost to Pittsburgh State. They've kind of been all over the map, and so it is an interesting case study of where they're at right now, but they're a team very capable of reeling off quite a few wins in a row and finding their way into the NCAA tournament. Northwest has been steady. You know the defense is going to show up. At times, the shooting hasn't been there. We saw that a couple games late in December for Northwest as we headed toward Christmas break, but it kind of feels like that's kind of evened out. We saw some really good basketball from the Kelderman twins over the weekend, knocking down some big shots and just everything kind of getting back in order. You know, one thing, too, for Northwest over the weekend in Oklahoma, no Lainey Joseph. She was beat up in practice the week before. She wasn't able to play. If Northwest gets her back, that is just another, player to get back in the rotation that can step up. That Lainey's played a lot of basketball in St. Joe's, a high schooler growing up in Cameron, Missouri, just down the road, and so she has a chance to step in and do some big things there, and she's proven that she's pretty fearless out there as a redshirt freshman. So it's a Northwest team that yeah, they've kind of passed the baton of who can lead the charge, but they have been pretty consistent of not a lot going out and beating themselves so far this season.
You know, I think there's also one thing about this team that I don't know if we've talked about as much as we should as well, is that they're not relying on just one person for rebounding as well. Like, especially on the offensive boards, it was in the past pretty much Kelsey Fields or no one getting offensive rebounds. We're seeing a lot of different players come in, get some big boards, keep possessions alive. Also on the defensive side, coming up with some defensive rebounds as well. And I think that's another aspect that's been a big positive for this team this year.
Yeah, they're going out and they're finding a way to close down possessions on the defensive side. And you're right, Kelsey's still right now ranked fourth in the MIAA, pulling in 3.2 offensive rebounds per game. But Kaylee Keston, three of her seven rebounds over the weekend were on the offensive side. Nearly half of Evelyn Vasquez's rebounds this season, a 5'5 guard for Northwest, have been on the offensive side. We've seen the Kelderman twins step up and grab some offensive boards. Molly Harden at two, and obviously Jana Green is an animal anywhere you put her on the floor, but she's pulled in 28 offensive rebounds so far this season for Northwest. So it is a group that has been very good about that, and that's something Coach Myers talked about this season a couple times, just in passing of, you know, in the past, he's been a little bit unsure of, should we send out extra people at the offensive glass to try to pull those in? Should we send them back on defense to make sure we're set on that side of the floor? And it is kind of a push and pull, because if you crash the glass, you don't grab it, you have a chance to give a run out to the other team. And the Bearcats have done a good job of going in, getting those boards, keeping possessions alive. And the Atwoods one I haven't mentioned yet, that's been terrific all over the floor. If you get the offensive rebound, you keep the possession alive. But when they don't, they're sprinting back, getting back, and not allowing themselves to get beat on the other end. So it's a very disciplined team that's playing well right now.
No doubt about that. And one other person we'll be talking with here during the show, Northwest Athletic Director Andy Peterson, kind of get a state of the athletic department at this particular point, and also look ahead a little bit toward women's golf coming up around the corner.
Can't wait for that, right? Because women's golf means we're going to see some sunshine and some green grass out there before long.
You look outside today, first thing you think of is golf season, right?
That's exactly right. I kind of wish we had beach volleyball, because that would at least put us in the right mindset for, you know, summer, beach, sun. But no, it's, hey, you know what? I'll take a little snowstorm and a chance to get out and scoop some snow. It's kind of a zen, right?
That's right. That's right. Again, we're broadcasting live from the Palms in Maryville on the Northwest Missouri State Coaches Show. We'll be back. We got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prinery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
And we are back at the Palms on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. And time now to talk with Trey Moala from the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, a 6'7 freshman redshirt out of Paola, Kansas. And Trey, I was just talking to you a little bit beforehand, had a chance to drive through your hometown on the way back from Claremore this past Saturday. Took a different route back through there and got to see a lot of Kansas we haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Maryville, is what I tell people. But not too bad.
What were some of the reasons that you wanted to come to Northwest Missouri State? Was that one of the reasons kind of you felt at home here in Maryville?
Yeah, I'm not much of a big city guy, so it felt like home, and I like the atmosphere. You know, the big saying is culture wins, so which you can clearly see around here. So it's just, I felt like part of something on all my visits and stuff. So,
well, you talk about culture wins. You're coming off a program of your senior season. You had a lot of success. I think making it to the Final Eight in the state of Kansas, going to Salina for the state tournament.
Yeah, that was a really fun one, because struggled through the first 3 years of my career, but I was able to make it there with a lot of my childhood friends, so that was a good way to cap off my career.
What was the biggest turnaround at Paola High School for you there with that senior season?
I think it was just like we had a lot of seniors. I think we had 9 seniors that year, so I think it was just everyone kind of had an idea of what was supposed to go on in the program, so I think that helped a lot.
Well, having a guy like you on that team, over 1,000 points and 500 rebounds in your career, Paola, had to help out just a little bit.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit.
What were some of the other highlights you had in high school?
Let's see. I think we had a tournament at the beginning of my senior year. We ended up getting 2nd in, but I don't think we had made a run like that in quite a while in that tournament, so that was good. But like I said, just getting to the state tournament was a big piece for us.
As far as other things in high school, was basketball primarily your main interest there, or did you compete in some other sports through there?
I did play football my senior year. I started at quarterback, and I ended up actually playing some corner and safety, which wasn't my intention at the start, but we had some injuries, so that's how it worked out.
I imagine you lined up against somebody and you're seeing a 6'7" at cornerback there. That has to be a little intimidating for the opposing teams.
Yeah, especially in high school. So that was fun. I was glad I went out, experienced it.
All right. And then finding your way to Northwest Missouri State, you had a redshirt year last year. What were some of the things that you really felt you gained out of that redshirt year? I know primarily, if they can, the coaching staff likes to put you guys through a redshirt year before you come out and play, although you see a few players come in as a true freshman. But mainly, what were some of the things that you benefited from last year?
I think we worked out a lot with Joe Q, so definitely got some development in the body, which helps a lot at this level. It's really physical. And then I think just getting the more of an idea, you get to grasp the offense, the defense, and kind of what the coaches are looking for. So it just it's a great learning opportunity, I'd say.
But, and this year, getting some playing time. In particular, I think one game really stands out, that Washburn game. 6 points, I think, 9 boards in that game as well. Some impressive baskets here, too. Just kind of talk about your role this year on the team and things you want to try to do to make sure you can help this squad.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm doing, trying to star in my role and trying to find my niche. Definitely get rebounds is one of them. And I'd say bring energy. Even when I'm not on the court, warm-ups, on the bench, we're always trying to encourage our other teammates. But, yeah, I'd say bring a lot of energy and just play with effort and have a positive impact on the game. So
it really seems like the guys that are coming off the bench right now are contributing in one way or another, so I would imagine that's something you have to feel good about too.
Yeah, it's fun, especially when you get to congratulate a guy like Ethan scored his first bucket the other day, so it's all fun, and we're rooting for each other, so it's nice.
And so far, off to a pretty good start this season. First in the MIAA standings at this particular time, 11-3 record, 7-1 in conference play. And overall, I imagine each year is a little bit different. Yeah, of course, you were a redshirt last year and helped with that culture as well. But it seems like despite the fact there are a lot of guys back, it just takes a while for each particular team to kind of get its character and things for each year and its identity, it seems like.
Yeah, I think the two guys we lost were obviously huge pieces of the program for years and years, so I think it's just trying to piece these guys together in the right way so we can build our identity.
Of course, Diego Bernard and also Waters there too. Right? As when you look at a guy like Waters, what are some of the things that really, I imagine you can kind of look and see the type of career he had is something that you can kind of model out for a little bit there.
Yeah, definitely. And just being around him practice every day as a redshirt, as we talked about, it's you get to learn from him as well as DV. But, you know, Luke was very consistent. He's an everyday guy. This is something we talk about in our program. And so that's just something I'm trying to replicate, bring it every day. So,
and as far as a boy from the basketball court, obviously that's a big part of the time each day for you, whether it's a practice or working out in the weight room in the off season and during the season at times as well. What are some things you like to do outside of basketball?
Well, usually when I'm home, I have 4 nephews now, so they keep me pretty busy. But here in Maryville, usually school work, trying to read, but I do tend to play video games sometimes. So,
well, you probably have some company with that on the team a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of the guys tend to spend some time on the video games, but
there's no competition there at all either, is there?
Oh, just some more team bonding, I'd say.
Yeah, who's some of the best video game players on the squad?
Depends on what you're doing, but Jack Radigan's a pretty steady. Doesn't really matter what game you're playing, he's up there.
Yeah, and what's your game that you like best?
I'd say just right now, Fortnite, just because all of our friends are playing it again, so it just reminds me of the good days. But pretty much that. I do play Rocket League, which some of the guys play as well.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And also, too, you guys just spend a lot of time away from the court together as well, don't you?
Yep, especially over break. We're getting a lot of meals together. So we're shooting, getting a meal, back to practice, getting a meal. So we're spending most of our day together, but it's good. We all enjoy each other.
Well, that's good. As you look at the rest of this season, what are some of the goals that you have, I guess, first of all, for you personally?
Just like I said, trying to star in my role. I think at this point we've all kind of built our own identity as a team and individually. So I'm just trying to do what I can to help us win games.
Well, and one other thing let's talk about, too, is again, basketball. Obviously, one of the reasons you came to Northwest Missouri State, but also an important aspect is the academic side of things. What's your major right now? What are you looking to do down the line?
I'm a biopsych major, so biology and psychology. Pretty tough route, but that's where we're heading. I'm not sure exactly where I want to take it, but I'm pretty interested in the neuroscience aspect of things, so taking a cognitive psych class right now, so I think that'll help me kind of figure out where I want to go.
Well, you've got a little time to make that decision here, too, so.
Yep.
All right, well, Trey, thanks a lot for being with us, and certainly appreciate coming by and talking with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. That's Trey Mawala with us, a 6'7 freshman redshirt out of Paola, Kansas. We'll be back. We've got more coming up on the show right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at maryvilleforum.com or at 660-562-2424. Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from The Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
And welcome back to the KXEV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from The Palms. And joining us now, the athletic director of Northwest Missouri State, Andy Peterson. And Andy, always good to have you with us here on the show.
Happy New Year, John. It's a beautiful day outside. It's supposed to get cold later. It's supposed to get a little bit of snow, maybe. It's a great day.
Yeah, that wind's already picking up a little bit.
Yeah, that's the part that we were probably the most concerned about. Snow's snow. People can get through that. But when it starts blowing around, you get stuff, drifts and things, and cars get stuck, and doors get whipped open and stuff like that, so you can stay away from the wind. That would be better, but I don't think we got as much snow as they thought. I think we probably got 4.5-5 inches, so we'll live.
I think so. I think we got a break too yesterday where the temperature is warm enough. Some of it was melting yesterday too. So
100%. 100%. I love talking weather with John Coffey.
That's why we're here, right?
Man.
But you in the past, and I don't know, are you this year part of that team that makes a decision about school on?
Yep. Chief Green, Clarence Green, he's supposed to be Amanda Cullen, but she is going through FBI training right now. She's out east, East Coast somewhere, for a couple months. So Chief had to, we had to, as an institution, digress back to letting Chief Green run the show with emergency stuff. That's a joke. He's great at it. So he puts a group together, a team together, Dan Hasleg and facilities, and maintenance, and then the NLT and Krista Barkas on behalf of employees, and then Dr. Tatum. And so, yeah, we'll get together at different times depending upon weather and forecasts and stuff, and sit down and try to make decisions. And yesterday, the way it worked out, we met at 11 a.m. and kind of went through everything. And with the impending forecast and other closures and stuff like that, we felt like it was probably best for everybody to get through as many of the classes as we could yesterday afternoon. So closed at 3. And that gave people enough time to plan and figure out how to get around stuff. And also, you know, school, you know, elementary school, high school, they got out early yesterday, so that kind of also plays a factor a little bit with a lot of our employees. So did all that and just closed all day today and open back up tomorrow. Hopefully we can be okay. But I was just driving around before I came here, and it's kind of a wet, heavy snow, so it's pretty sticky, and so it does a pretty good job of allowing itself to be bladed.
Yeah, you know, and one thing too, before we turn our attention over to sports, but I think as far as campus goes, a group that probably do not get enough recognition is that maintenance group,
because
I know this morning when I was in a little early, they were already out trying to get the sidewalks and roads on campus cleared off for people. Even if it is a day off for most of the people on campus, they're still out there doing the work.
Yeah, Shane Baumgart kind of runs the landscape folks, obviously under the direction of Dan Haslick, and yeah, they do a great job. I can't speak highly enough. Obviously, we've got our special guys in athletics, Robert Archer and Kenny Hanna, that give us a lot of attention. But you know, Danny Smith and that whole crew, yeah, those guys are great. I mean, they've got trucks and blades and bobcats and blades and, you know, little UTVs and all kinds of brushes and all things, but they do a fantastic job of, you know, because we've still got students on campus, obviously, and they're trying to get to the Union to eat at different times, and so just to keep those sidewalks open and safe for kids to get to where they need to go is a big deal. And our you said it right, our facilities crew, they don't get enough credit for the way campus looks, number one, just the beautification of it, and keeping it clean and tidy and all that pretty much year round. But then also times like this when we have, you know, snowstorms or ice storms or wind storms in the summer and branches and trees down. I mean, you can't go across campus, you know, 6 hours after an event, and you probably don't even notice it happen because they get it cleaned up so quickly and do such a good job. So kudos to that crew for sure.
Well, let's turn our attention to basketball right now. As we talked a little bit with Trey Moala as well as with Matt about men's basketball and women's basketball here. You couldn't really ask for a much better season right now. What we've had, the men and women both in first place in the MIAA, the women sharing it with a couple other teams, and the men right now outright in first place in the conference.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, you'll probably talk to Austin and the girls ladies here in just a second, but you know, it's one of those, I think it's been a slow build for them, you know, kind of eerily similar to the way we were with men's basketball back in the early 20 teens. You know, it's just you slowly build into and get comfortable with roles and how you're coaching, and you know, you got your staff, you know, I think Austin's got his staff where he kind of wants it now too, and you know, that's, and you've got an elderly group, right? An experienced group that knows, they've been in a lot of games. I don't know how many times I've told Austin this year, like, man, 2 years ago, you would have figured out a way to lose that game, right? And instead now it's, hey, we're figuring out ways to win games. Not just hold on to games, but, you know, the Kearney game, you come back and win. Northeastern game Thursday, you figure out how to come back and win. You know, it's, In the past, we've had leads, and they would either hold on for dear life and win, and you don't feel great about it, or you lose the stinking thing, and then you're frustrated. It's like, man, we just need a little bit of experience, or just this, that, and the other. It's not how hard the girls are playing. It's not them making decisions right or wrong. It's just that it factor, that intangible of we're going to win this game, and how that happens. And we've kind of got that now, right? You've got a bunch of upperclassmen that understand this league and how to play, and they've been in, you know, Hayes, you know, Grossman Coliseum, and they've played in big games there. They've been to Kearney against really good teams. They've been to, you know, UCM against good teams and been in games. And so now it's the environment doesn't scare you anymore. The teams don't scare you anymore. The coaches don't scare you anymore. It's more about us than it is about them. And I think that's what you're seeing on the women's side. And then on the men's side, you know, they're still getting better. I think, I don't know how Mac feels about it. I haven't necessarily talked to him specifically, but from a fan standpoint that I am now, I feel like we're getting more and more dangerous every week that we go. You know, Christmas break came at a great time for the men's team. I think they were maybe pressing a little bit and trying to force it to happen. I think they needed that 7-day break. And so for them to come back and get two wins on the road is a big deal. Obviously, we've got a rivalry game this weekend against Western, and then a couple of big games next week. But, you know, they're continuing to get better. I think, you know, you lose someone like Diego, right, and Luke Waters, and guys that have been in big games and played a lot of minutes. And so with a younger group and a deeper group, I think, you know, they're still trying to find their identity a little bit. And I think you see all that with some of those games we lost early. It's just, you know, they're finding who they are. So I think they're continuing to get better. And so the fact that they're sitting number one in the conference is scary, I think, for the rest of the league. It should be anyway. And then, you know, on the women's side, being at the top, it's hopefully we can continue to win and play there. I think the women have probably played a tougher schedule than the men to this point. But you know, that it'll all balance out in the end. So we'll see. But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun right now. Obviously, for basketball fans, Bearcat basketball fans, to watch and to see, and hopefully they can continue that trajectory.
Yeah, I think too on the women's side, kind of like the men you're talking about in the aspect of, I think that we haven't hit the ceiling yet for the women this season. Yeah, I think there's still some things that we'll see out of this women's team before the season's out as well.
Yeah, well, again, you're still finding roles, right? You're still, you know, CK and Molly have played a lot. You know, Jana has played a lot. Emma's played kind of a lot. You know, she's had some injuries that have held her out a couple of times. But then, like, you know, Evelyn's been out. She's playing quite a bit now. Kelsey Fields is not a freshman anymore. You know, the Keldermans are continuing to get better every time they take the floor. So, you know, and then you've got a lot of youth too with Ella Moody and Lainey Joseph that you know, they're still getting their feet wet a little bit in the college game. So, yeah, as that stuff continues to happen and they continue to mold and to grow and to find their little niche. Their niches and where they play, how they play on the team and within the team. I agree with you. I think they're going to continue to get better. And, you know, as we come down the stretch here, I think they can put a lot of pressure on a lot of other teams without necessarily getting out of our comfort zone. Just doing what we do, I think, is going to naturally put a lot of pressure on other teams as we come down the stretch of the MIAA season.
Well, as we look outside the windows and see the snow and the blustery winds and everything else, naturally you think of golf right now. So.
That's right. That's right.
And your women's golf team, they're be getting ready to roll here before too long, if not already doing a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't done anything yet with golf. You know, we'll get started next week. I've got NCAA convention in Phoenix tomorrow through Saturday, so I'll be out this week. But next week we'll get going. Baseball and softball started yesterday, right? So track and field's in their season. They've got track meet next weekend. But I think baseball, I think they're play a game in 17 days or something like that. February 1st, February 2nd. It's maybe a little bit more than 17. But anyway, seems not very long. So, yeah, spring sports are here as there's, like you said, John, there's 5 inches of snow on the ground blowing around. It's spring seasons. So, you know, we fought through it a little bit this morning, getting teams into Hughes Fieldhouse and getting practices in. And I know there were a bunch of teams that lifted and men's women's basketball practice too. So, yeah, it's all, we kind of gotten through that month and a half where it's just winter sports. And now we're back into that season where there's crossover, with spring sports. So yeah, yeah. But women's golf, we'll get going next week and start working out and doing some things. And, you know, before I came here, I was working through trying to figure out our logistics. We're going to Arizona in the spring over spring break to try to get some grass under our feet and play some golf. But yeah, it's all coming very, very quickly.
And you know, you mentioned the Hughes Fieldhouse. That's something that I think when it was built, a lot of people felt that that's a primarily going to be a football facility, but to really the sports that can really benefit out of that, or sports that the spring sports in particular, a chance to for them to get some really meaningful workouts in there that they wouldn't ordinarily have back in the basement at Lampkin back in the old days.
Yeah, 100% spring sports, but then also winter sports.
Yes.
You know, it really decompressed Lampkin for men's and women's basketball in the wintertime. And then once we get a little bit further in the spring, even volleyball, to be able to have their spring season, spring workout sessions without a bunch of conflict. So, I think that's where, you know, a lot of the dollars and resources that came from football alumni and football backing folks. But I think any of those people would also tell you that they're Bearcats, right? And it's not just about football. It's about the whole department and everything they do. Obviously, football. We need football to be good. We want football to be good because that drives so many other things for us, along with men's and women's basketball and some other sports. But Hughes is without a doubt, I think, had probably the biggest impact on our track and field programs. If you look back since 2018, obviously that's when Coach Masters got here and changed a lot of stuff. But I think that facility is a big piece of that. Just the fact that they can – it's a competitive facility for track. You know, for all the other sports, football included, it's a practice facility. There's nothing else you can do in there other than practice. You really can't compete or play in there. But when you talk about track and field, that's probably one of the top 10 facilities in the country at any level in terms of – 300-meter flat track where you can run really, really fast, as fast as you can. You know, a lot of other facilities, 200 flats and 200 banks, you kind of have to slow down a little bit going around the corners just because the corners are tight. When you get onto a wide 300 flat like Hughes, you're sprinting the whole time. And so for training, that's a big deal, but it's a bigger deal when you're competing and you know, unhitching the wagon on a Saturday and qualifying for nationals and that sort of stuff. So track and field, without a doubt, the most that, you know, I give Coach Churchman a lot of credit, you know, when I was assistant to the facilities, and he kind of turned that project over to Nate Davis and myself and Scott Nielsen. He just kind of said, this has to be a 300-meter competitive track. He's like, it's for football, it's for baseball, it's for softball, it's for soccer, it's for all these other tennis. But the dimensions and the schematic for that building is based around 300-meter indoor track. And so that was the basis of design for it. And the rest of it, we just made it fit after the fact. And so, yeah, track and field for sure. But, yeah, baseball and softball, you know, we put netting on the ceiling so they can go live. You know, we didn't have that anywhere else on campus. You know, they could go in Lampkin, they could go in Bearcat Arena and take infield, but you can't go live. You couldn't have a pitcher on a portable mound and a batter in the batter's box and swing at a baseball because you're going to bust out lights and hit sprinkler heads and have all kinds of damage in Bearcat. So the fact that they can go live in Hughes is a big deal. You know, they can have live sessions, live situations on the base paths and laying down bunts and you know, doing a lot of different things that they can't do in a lot of other places. And so for baseball and softball, it's a big deal. And then tennis too. You know, Rosie was a little bit boxed in Lampkin with those two courts in the end zones, I call it, of Lampkin in the arena, and the fact that he can go wide in Hughes is a big deal, I think, for both those programs as well. So, very, very functional space, multifaceted, multi-use, with a lot of impacts for all of our programs, but especially those spring sports.
You know, too, I know it's been in existence for a couple, 3 years now, or maybe a little bit more than that even, but still, you walk into that facility, still kind of, you're awestruck just a little bit when you walk into that place.
6 years.
Has it been that long?
Yeah,
my gosh.
2018. We opened that thing October 2018, so almost 6 years, 5.5 years. And, I mean, I still can very vividly remember walking in the south end before they had all the panels on the side and just looking down at the other end and seeing a full-grown human standing down there and thinking that we're in the same space right now. We're in the same building. And so, you know, you can fit 6 Bearcat arenas in there, square footage-wise. You know, I can't remember all of the tidbits and facts of information of how many big round bales you could fit in there and how many railroad cars of corn and how many golf balls and all that stuff. But it is a engineering feat for sure. Those pre-engineered metal buildings are special, and it is an absolute gem of our campus and something that I'm looking forward to continue to learn how to use, right? We've kind of worked our kinks out athletics-wise in terms of how to use it as best we can, and I think that's going to free up some other things for campus, for, you know, commencements, for graduations, for concerts. We've had a concert in there now. And then I think for the community as well, as we continue to figure out how to use it as best we can. It's weird to say 5.5 years later, but it's the truth. You know, we are still learning. I think the community and other groups are still figuring out the nuances of how to get in there and how to use it to the best of its ability, and while at the same time protecting the integrity of the building and the space as well.
Well, I imagine, too, when this first built, you didn't anticipate having varsity volleyball matches in there.
Exactly.
That you had to do when the Lampkin Bearcat Arena was being renovated.
Exactly. Yeah, that whole summer, you know, when the roof was failing in Lampkin, and we moved Joe Quinlan and all of the strength equipment up to Hughes and the north end, and then we also, you know, bought a sport court and put that in the north end and had, I think we had 6 or 7 volleyball matches in there. And just that's, I mean, we've talked about doing that again, just bringing that back just for the environment and for the feel of it. You know, it's that's, again, though, when you've got an open span space like that, it really is free reign. You can do so much in there if you have the right equipment and you have the right people around that are open to ideas and not afraid of trying stuff. You know, there's pretty magical things can happen. So, that was not necessarily in the blueprint originally or in the plan, but absolutely a big asset to us when that happened.
All right. Well, Andy, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show tonight.
All right, John.
Again, that's Andy Peterson, athletic director at Northwest Missouri State. When we come back, we'll talk more women's basketball. That's coming up right after this timeout. Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXEV, KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome into the KXEV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball as the Bearcats 12-2 on the season, 6-2 in MIAA play. We're joined by Northwest guards Kaylee Keston and Molly Hartnett. First, we've got to dive right in. Campus is closed for another, 18 hours? Ooh. What are you two doing with your time?
Laying in bed. I mean, I don't really have any homework or any class. Because I'm student teaching, so obviously hanging out, I guess. What else is there to do? Trying to stay warm?
Yeah, hey, there you go. CK?
Best day ever. I need to do homework, but I will probably end up making snowman, doing some snow angels. I love the snow. So I'm from Utah, so snow's part of me, so I love it.
So I've got it written down that your hometown's Denver, though.
Yeah, long story.
Okay, so kid at heart, you're going to be playing in the snow.
Yes.
Molly, no desire to go sledding, build a snowman, anything?
Well, I don't really have a sled. I think sledding's really fun, but I don't really have snow clothes. I don't want to be wet. It's kind of cold.
I almost went to Walmart last night and got a sled.
So, I think I'll have to stay in bed.
All right. And so you're probably crossing your fingers that school's closed tomorrow for the Maryville District so you can stay home again.
Yes, I would love that. They should really take that in consideration. If you're listening out there, please cancel.
Snow's blown. We'll see how it goes. It's not great. But one thing that has been great, that's heating up. You see that transition from cold to hot. Okay. Northwest women's basketball, 12-2. You've won 4 straight, 6-2 in MIAA play. From your guys' perspective, wrap your minds around it. Give me what's like to be suiting up and playing for this team, because you guys have kind of came in and helped build this program from, near the bottom of the MIAA to now we're in position to where a lot of games left, but right now tied for first in the conference. Just whoever wants to jump in, what are your thoughts?
Suiting up for this team is special. Obviously, coming in, the team wasn't great before we got here, starting at the bottom. You know, we just had to work hard and keep fighting, obviously starting low and then just building up every year, and we keep getting better and better and better. It's awesome to see. But just being with these girls, playing with these girls is so much fun, and just taking it every moment in day after day is so much fun with these girls.
I think it attests to the day by day, coming every day and getting better, and how much that can project you. And it, we didn't get better overnight. It's something that we had to build over the last four or five years with Emma and Jaina starting. And so really just everybody buying in every day, working hard, has got us where we're at.
Coach has talked about trusting the process for quite a while now, and it's getting to this point. Are there any points when you think back to freshman, sophomore years when you go out there and things don't go your way and you have a tough road loss, or you're like, how can I trust this process? We're not getting to where we need to be. It's a long road. Do you have any second thoughts at any point years ago about getting to this point now?
I think back to maybe freshman year when our record wasn't so great. It's like, okay, now we're going to play this team. Like, you know, we always want to win, but you're not really sure if you're going to come out with it. But now we are confident everywhere we go, and it's just a way better feeling.
Yeah, I would say just being in the moment. You know, looking back at how far we have grown is just special. You know, we have never beaten some of these teams that we've beaten this year, and so it's just awesome to see that. But we got to keep it going and just stay in the moment, stay focused on who we are and what we are on the court.
Yeah, John was talking in our open today on the show about the consistency of this team. The defense is going to show up night in and night out. Some dates where the shooting hasn't been around, but that's come up through this past road trip, and even going back to that Kansas Wesleyan game too. But for this team, whenever you kind of go through and you kind of think about the day-to-day of what you guys are doing and what you're doing well to this point, part of it is you have to come out and take care of business against teams that you should beat. You saw that this week, and you go to Northeastern and get a win. You really hammered Rogers and Claremore. How do you not look past those, knowing that a team like Western's waiting for you coming up next Saturday?
Yeah, any night anybody in this league can win. Obviously, you saw that with Mo West and Northeastern. That was kind of a big upset. Obviously, Northeastern is kind of a team that everyone feels possibly they should beat. But obviously, they're good this year. I mean, great team, great coaches. So, you know, game at a time, you got to do what you have to do to win. Know the scout, play defense, get offense flowing, and you know, get that momentum growing in our favor.
Northwest to this point 12-2 on the season, 6-2 in the MIAA. We're talking with Kaylee Keston and Molly Hartnett of Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. Top two leading scorers on the team right here, Molly and CK, but we're also seeing other players step up. You mentioned earlier Emma and Jane were kind of on teams before you guys, and now kind of growing with them as they've gone. We see Jana go for a double-digit scoring for the first time all season against Northeastern. Just a two-point win. You needed all 17 of those. When you look at a player like that that's put so much in and a senior on this team, does that make it a little more special too? And you see some of those reps in practice of, man, she's doing that. I gotta keep up.
I think being able to have everybody score is definitely a big threat that we have. I love it when Jaina scores. I was so excited when she got 16 or 17 or however many points she got. But we're fortunate enough that anybody can come out and score, and we can have even the next five off the bench come and score 40 of our, I don't know, maybe 60, 70 points we have that night. So it was funny when we played at Kansas Wesleyan, I brought up the ball and the girl guarding me was like, dang, anybody can just come out here and bring up the ball? I'm like, I mean, yeah, we all just, I mean, that's just us. Anybody can do anything. So
that's a pretty good compliment from your competition telling you that. Like, come on, like someone has to be able to drop off a little bit at some point, right?
Yeah.
We saw the bench stepping up. Of course, the first five are strong, but then the next five come in. And I think all 12 that were suited up got playing time in both of the games through this weekend. You know, Jillian Fleming's put in so much time and is right there just battling and battling, getting more minutes. We're seeing Kendall Klatt get some time too. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for you guys that are starters that are getting the bulk of the minutes, but then seeing them step in and contribute?
Yeah, it's awesome to see their hard work. They're getting they deserve the minutes that they're getting. I just feel like our depth is so great. Like, you can go to anybody on the team at any point. Like, it's not going to fall off, and everybody works so hard and puts the time in. So they deserve to be in just as much as any of us. And, you know, we all have confidence in one another to do what they need to do on the court and play to their strengths, and they do that. And so we really appreciate how much they've stepped up and just stepped and played well for us.
We talked a lot about pace this season with Northwest and things shifting a little bit, a little more up-tempo. Was it 69-69 coming down the stretch against Northeastern State inside the final minute? Probably 20, 22 seconds left on the shot clock. Molly came down the floor. You found Jana right away. Got it to her. She got it. Layup. Boom. Bearcats in front. You hold on to win that one by two. I think in years past, and a lot of teams are saying, we're going to eat a little bit more clock, try to get a good shot, and then play the clock game. Not the case with you guys coming down and getting that bucket. Is that something that you're hearing from the sideline too? Is that instinct at that point of, I know what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to find the open player and just go?
Yeah, I mean, I just saw that she had a mismatch. No one was really guarding her, so I kind of tossed it down to her. But we also do have confidence in our defense. I mean, the level that we started at and where we are now is completely different. We've grown so much in that part of our game. But no much time, however much time is left, we're going to play defense as hard as we can and just hope that it goes our way.
That was an interesting situation. You guys go up by two, they get the ball back, and eventually they have about a 2.5 second difference between shot clock and game clock. Or check that, you guys had that, mm-hmm. and they chose to defend instead of start fouling and extend the basketball game. What were your guys' thoughts on the floor? Because Coach Meyer on the sideline was saying, I had to check to make sure the score was right, that we were in front, but they chose to try to get the basketball back without fouling. Mm-hmm. Were you guys questioning, like, what are they doing right now?
I didn't really know what they were going to do, but on our side, we're confident in all areas of the ball. Like Molly said, we're really confident in our defense. We're confident in our free throw shooting abilities and just being able to handle the ball. So we could handle whatever they threw at us, so we were ready for anything.
I was a bit confused watching Meyer jump on the sideline, like, is it the fourth quarter? Why are they not fouling? What's happening? And then he's like, go. Oh, wait, stop. Timeout. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what do you want us to do? You're, like, so flustered over there. Like, we don't even know what we're doing.
Yeah. No, it was a sight to see. And, of course, it works out for Northwest. You guys didn't get a bucket, but you took off plenty of time, and they got it back with half a second left and couldn't get a good shot. Defended well, Northwest, the two-point win. You come back on against Roger State. Run and gun, you get a victory. Boy, that pace, it was there in that game. Up and down, they could not keep up. You guys forced a ton of turnovers. That's a lot of fun to watch. I assume that brand of basketball, pretty fun to get out there and play too.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We got a lot of steals, which put us in transition, which this year we focused a lot in transition offense and defense on both sides. But everyone got shots, and it was fun to play, just move around.
This week, Northwest will take on Missouri Western. That's coming up on Saturday, a 1:30 tip-off for the women, 3:30 for the men. Of course, that's the big Northwest-Missouri Western rivalry. It means a lot to fans and alumni. Players, though, how do you approach a game like this? We talked about the trust the process before. How do you look at a game like this in the regular season?
Yeah, it's a big game for us. You can't downplay anybody. You just got to prepare all week, you know, come out, be our best that we can be. Obviously, it's a big rivalry. We always look forward to this game. It's the only game of the week. So, you know, we all just put in the time, get better each day, 1% better. And then once game time comes around, you just got to play your butt off and do what you have to do to get the win.
CK, this is a team that's taken everybody very seriously. The record reflects that at 12-2. How do you make sure you don't put too much weight into a game like Missouri Western to where you put too much pressure on yourselves when you step on the floor in St. Joe?
I think we need to dig deep and rely on ourselves and play our game, not be hesitant and be aggressive to score, but also look at, this is just the middle of the season, and we'll prepare and play this game as best as we can, but we also get to play them again in the future. So just focus on this game and attack with what we got.
Missouri Western's been an up-and-down team. They obviously beat Roger State by 40 on Thursday. Then they lost to Northeastern State on the road on Saturday. What do you make of a team like this that you're really not sure what they're going to do when they come on the floor?
Yeah, obviously we just kind of focus on us. You don't know what they're going to come out and Sometimes they look like they don't really know what they're in, which would be helpful for us. But I guess, yeah, just focusing on us and what we do is most important for us. So just coming out and playing hard and playing that defense that we know how to do, running the ball. Obviously, it'll be a pretty fast-paced game because they like to play fast. We like to play fast. So I'm sure it'll be a high-scoring, fun little game.
Mm-hmm. Should be good. Northwest taking on Missouri Western coming up this Saturday, 1:30 tip-off for the women, 3:30 for the men down in St. Joseph. Before I let you go, you guys had conditioning yesterday, and you had a practice today. Meyer didn't take you out in the snow. No running in the snow, no high knees, nothing to battle the elements.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm good.
Yeah.
You guys need to go watch Rocky IV, the big training monologue before he fights the Russian. He's out working out in the snow in Russia. I feel like that'd be great for you guys, right?
Maybe. I'll propose the idea.
Maybe in preseason, but preseason's all the way almost in summer, so I'm good midseason.
You have to take a trip somewhere, find some snow. Yeah. Maybe Colorado.
Maybe.
That'd be perfect. Molly, Kaylee, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend against Missouri Western.
Thank you.
Perfect, thanks.
Molly Hartnett, Kaylee Keston joining us on the KXCV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. That's going to wrap things up for us from the Palms. Once again, we have Bearcat basketball coming up this weekend. Northwest Missouri State going on the road. They'll be taking on Missouri Western down in St. Joseph. 1:30 and 3:30 tip-offs for the women and the men. You can hear those games right here on KXCV Maryville, KLRNW Chillicothe. That'll wrap things up for us here from the Palms. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton, saying so long.